Okay. Good morning. We're up to Perek. What's wrong with Mac? Leave. Okay. Good. It's good. All right. It's good. Okay. Good. You can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. We're up to Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel. We are in the middle of the psukim describing the role of a navi. And the psukim okay, before we begin, I want to put everyone off here. Today, our chover, Rav Dennis Wilbur, has yahrzeit. He is observing yahrzeit for his mother. Her name is Devorah Bas Aaron Halevi. May the learning today be a merit for her, may it be a zechus for her neshama, may her neshama have an aliyah, and may she derive nachas from her wonderful son. Okay, we are continuing here in Perek Lamed Gimel. We're up to Pasuk really in the middle. So let's just run through. We didn't do the Rashi, and there's not really much to do. We do the Rashi and the Radak. Let's start from Pasuk Zayin. We did the Mitzudos, so we're not going to do the Mitzudos again, but let's just read what it says in the Rashi and the Radak. We read the Psukim. Again, it's Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. V'atav in Adam, Tzofel, Nesaticha, Leves Yisrael. Okay, Hashem says to Yecheskel, I have made you, I have appointed you to be a Tzofel, to be a lookout. A Navi is a Tzofel. V'shamata mipi davar, you shall listen to the word, my words. V'hisarto esam mimeni, you shall warn the people. Hashem is telling you, you have the role, and we discuss this at the end of Friday at great length. According to the beautiful Malbim, there are two different types of Nevi'im. There's two different types of Tzofim. There's a Tzofer that is appointed before the enemy comes, and there is a Tzofer that's appointed after the enemy already has laid siege to the city. And the Malbim makes a difference. What's the role? There are three major differences between the lookout that is appointed in advance versus the lookout that's appointed after the enemy already is in position. And one of the main differences that we wanted to focus on is that a tzofer that's appointed as a lookout from the very beginning, his power, his salary comes directly from the state. It comes from the king. Whereas the tzofer that's appointed once the enemy already is outside the walls of the city, he's paid by the people, the hamoinam. And we wanted to suggest that there are two major, and if this fully fits very well, the difference between the Yeshaya, let's say for example Yeshaya, and many of the Treyos are versed in the Nevi'im, Yecheskel and Yirmiyah. Yeshaya and many of the Treyos are, they were Nevi'im, they were the Tzofer, they were appointed as lookouts way in advance, before the enemy came to the city. They're the Tzofer in category number one. And therefore, that type of Navi is a Navi that's very well connected to the Melech. And that's why indeed we find in Navi that the Nevi'im, Yeshaya, they had a very close relationship, a very personal relationship with the king. Whereas the Tzofim, the Nevi'im that we're describing over here in Yecheskel and Yirmiyah, they are Tzofim in category B who are appointed after the enemy already has laid siege to the city, and they are appointed, their power is derived from the people, from the Hamoin Am, not so much from the king. It's a very fascinating, insightful approach to understand different types of them. You're not going to see this idea often. From the rabbi? The noise is coming from the kid, I think. Okay. So now, over here, so Hashem says to Yichai, Pasuk Zayin, again, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, so we have to, I'm appointing you as a Tzofer, and Pasuk Ches says, Be'omri lo Rasha, and what is the role of the Navi? Say to the Rasha, the wicked man, Rasha, most Hamus, Rasha, you will surely die, V'lo Dibarta, and if you fail, of telling the people, the Rasha, you're going to die, Lahazi Rasha Midarko, who Rasha Bavono Yomus. So we learned this Hashkafic principle. If you warn the Navi, if a Navi warns a person not to do that, that to do teshuva, to stop doing an avera, and he does not listen to the Navi, the reason why the person will die is because of his sins, not because of not listening to the Navi. Okay, so you can argue the reason why the person will die is not related to his sins. The reason why he's going to die is because he did not listen to the Navi. So the Pasuk here clearly rejects that notion. The reason why a person dies is because of his sins, not because he failed to listen to the warning. V'damo biyotcha avakesh, but if you have not given him the warning, and if you did not warn him, he will die. If you did not warn him, you also will be held accountable. You will be held accountable because you had an opportunity to warn him and you failed in your mission. Pasuk tes. V'yata ki yisharta rosho midarko losho b'meno. What? But if, let's say, you did warn the person, the loyshav midarkoi, hu ba'avono yomus, that's really the thing I mentioned, he will die due his sin, the aton, you, nafshecha, you will save, hitzaltu, you have saved your soul. So I'm giving you a mission. Your mission is to warn the people. It's not important to know if you succeed or fail. You have a mission, you have to fulfill your mission, whether the people will listen or not listen. If you fail to do what you're supposed to do, then you will be held accountable for their death, even though they anyway are going to die for their own sins. So we did the Mitzudos, and again, let's see the Rashi. Rashi part is a very short Rashi. Tzoyfe nesaticha ka'oiso ha-tzoyfe ha-nita le-hasir shloi toivad nefesh. Just like the lookout that we learned in the beginning of the parak, that has been appointed that people should be on guard to protect themselves from the enemy. Kain nisaticha lahasir Yisrael, so too I've appointed you to warn the Jewish people. Let's see Radak pasuk zayin and ches. V'atzev nilkach komatz b'zokain edroish. That's a grammar edroish. I will seek out v'afal pishuhu hoyichayv kvar. Even though the victim was anyway chayiv misa due to his sins, mikol makom al yidei atzoyfe meis. Nevertheless, al derech hateva, the reason why the person died was because the tzoyfe did not warn him. So this pasuk vav, we did this already. So pasuk vav. Let's skip ahead. Pasuk zayin in the Radak. V'ata ben adam ho'inyin hazem ufarish lamala. Everything we're learning over here, we really need to repetition, because the entire, all this should sound familiar in being of Sefer Yecheskel. We learned all this in Parag Gimel pasuk yidzayin. Little sefer v'kol ha'shofar hu advar navi. The shofar here, the sound of the shofar, is the metaphor for the ashara of the Navi. Pasuk tes, v'yata nafshecha hitzalta, b'loy milas es usha'ora es nafshecha. Okay, so here we're missing a word, v'yata es nafshecha hitzalta, and that's just an expression that you don't need to necessarily have every single S. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud. What?
Yaina,
yeah.
Was not given the story. So he taka tried not to tell them.
Right.
So over here he was given the fairish. He was told.
You must tell them. But Hashem also you have to tell. Okay, over here Hashem is telling him.
Yona was not told them.
I don't know. I don't know Yona. We have to learn Yona.
Yona ran away because he didn't want to.
So maybe Yona ran away. He wanted. He was Thomas Nafshim Plishtim. He says, "I'm a Hanami. I don't care. I'll take the hit. He had a cheshbon. His cheshbon was if I'm going to warn them, they're going to do teshuva. It'll be a kitrog on Klal Yisrael. So I'm willing to take the hit. I'm willing. Hashem should punish me in order that there should not be a kitrog on Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, I'm sorry, buddy. You have no right to do that. Okay, but you have to study the chilik in Yoina and between Yechezkel. It's a very good point. Now we go to the next section. It's a continuation. Pasuk Yud. V'yata, we have a very famous psuk, and this is the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. V'yata, here you see the context, where it all comes from. V'yata ven adam. Hashem now says to Yechezkel, Emoel beis Yisrael, kein amartem lemar. I know what you say. I know that when you give them Musar, when you Yecheskel give Musar to Klal Yisrael, I know what you're going to say. Kain amartem lemor, so you say, ki fisho'enu v'chato esenu oleinu, we have sinned terribly, we have committed two different types of sins, a pesha and a chet. A pesha means outright rebellion, and a chet means inadvertent sin. Aleinu, is it upon us? Uvam, and through these sins, anachnu nimakim, we melt away. The eich nichye, and there is no way we can live. In other words, Klal Yisrael says to Hashem is that we're already too far gone. It's already soaked in our bones, chet. Two different types of chet, rebellion and inadvertent sins, and we're going to die, and there's nothing we can do, that can save us, that we can't live, so we're not going to waste our times doing teshuvah. Now we're going to see this, some deep ideas here. We'll just go one thing at a time. Let's see first the mitzudos. Pasuk Yud, in the mitzudos, Zavikin Amartim, Zos Amartim Leimo, the following is what you respond. Ki pishoinu v'chadaseinu heim, oleinu return leimar, v'emes, astilu pishon v'chatos. We have done many, many sins, uvam, and as punishment for doing these sins, anu nimakim, we are going to melt away bitzaros v'lo alchinam. It's not for nothing. The eich efshar shenichya ritzon leimar liyos nitzolim min ha-hamokah. There's no way we can save ourselves from melting away due to our sins. Ki lo haminu, the people here at this point in time did not believe shehateshuva moyelas, that teshuva is effective. Since teshuva is not effective, we will not succeed. We might as well just continue what we're doing, continue to sin and just die and expire and melt away. Let everything take its natural course. V'cheinu nasmid b'pesha'im. Let us continue doing our sins. V'chasher avadnu avadnu. Like what it said, what they said in time of the Megillah, v'chasher avanu avanu, and Esther said to Mordechai, whatever will be, if this is our destiny, so be it. Rashi pasuk yud, kein amartem, lefichach, therefore, so you say, ein atem chafetzim loshuv. You don't want to do teshuvah. Kisvurim atem shlo toro lechem teshuvah. You firmly believe that it's not going to help. It's not going to be effective. Okay, radak, Pasik Yud, the Ator Ven Adam, Kain Amartim Lema, Kumo Kain Binosa. Here the Radak adds in some very important translation to the word Kain. This week's parasha Kain means correct. When Moshe responded, Hashem responded, Kain means you have spoken correctly. And that opens up a whole new dimension to understand this Pasik. What Klal Yisrael said, indeed, Hashem is coming to acknowledge that you're really right. You're really right is that al pi derech hateva, teshuva is not going to help you, because you're so far gone, you're so accustomed to doing the averos. Cain, it's not just simple translation. So I know what you're going to say. Hashem is saying what you're saying is technically correct, but I'm going to give you siyata d'shmaya. I'm going to give you superhuman strength, superpowers to actually succeed in doing teshuva. That's the next pasuk Yud Aleph. But Hashem here is acknowledging that's right, the person does averos, and it has an effect, and the effect is a natural effect, and in Echanami, you are correct according to the natural ways of the world, according to all the best psychologists, and the best philosophers, and the best scientists, who understand the human nature. You're right. You've done these averas so long, your entire life, there really is no hope for you. And it's just true. Going to shul and clapping al chait is not going to make any bit of a difference. Kamo kein benos lafodavros, amar tov chashavtem, what you've said is correct. Im chashavtem bilvavchem leimar, if you think in your heart to say, ki pesho'enu v'chataseinu oleinu kolaymar, im tisvadu, if we confess, al chato seichem uveshechem, yetoiv. So if you confess on your sins, it will be good. Vesodu ki haros habos aleichem heim ba'avonoseichem lo derech mikra. Okay, so he's saying that. Wait, what's he saying over here? Im tisvadu al chatos. You're correct. In other words, there's a cause and effect that all the tzaros that are coming upon you in Echanami is because of your sins. Nimakim. Okay, then he goes into some grammar. Let's leave that. And basically, you're correct. What you're saying is correct. Now, what's the response? So, Pasuk Yud Aleph is the very, very important Pasuk. In fact, it may very well be the most important Pasuk in the whole Sefer. We say this pasuk multiple times on Yom Kippur. Hashem responds, Emor Alehem, Chayani. Hashem's, I swear. Nu'um Hashem Elokim. Hashem's, I swear, so says Hashem. And it's also Yudke Vavke Elokim. We read both together. It's Midas Hadin, Midas Harachamim. Im Echbo, it's Bemois HaRosha. I do not, do I want the Rasha to die? What do I want? Ki'im b'shuv rasha mi'darkov v'choya. All I want is the rasha to do tshuva and live. I don't want you to die. It's not my desire. Do I? It's a rhetorical statement. Shuvu shuvu mi'darkechem horoim do tshuva v'lama samusum. Why should you die, Beis Yisrael? Now, what exactly does the pasuk over here mean? So there's a lot going on. Let's go slow. Pasuk Yudal first in the Mitzvot David. Chayani. Hashem responds, Harini nishba im chefzi b'mitzas ha-rasha. I have no desire that the rasha die. Ki chefzi sheyoshu b'darko ha-ra'ol l'man yichya v'retzid l'oyma ki ein kavanasi b'havoas ha-oynish l'hisnakim bo ki l'uchayisi chefetz b'mitzaso. When I bring upon you punishment, it's not because I want to finish you off and you to destroy you. El ha-kavano hi l'oyro. When I bring upon you punishment, it's to arouse you. L'oshuv m'darko ha-ra'ah. To do teshuva, leman yichya, so that you live. Ulechein therefore shuvu bidarchechem horoim v'lama samusu bihimo nachemin ha-hashava. Why should you die by not doing teshuva? So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very simply, he's not really giving any elaboration, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is saying is, don't say this. You're saying that we have sinned, and therefore we're going to be punished. Hashem is saying the punishment is not for the purpose of destroying you. The punishment is to arouse you to do teshuva. And if you will do teshuva, obviously it will suspend the punishment from going further. Let's see Rashi. There is no Rashi Radak. Radak does not say very much over here. Imam Alehem, Kol Inyin at Sefer Parashim Mavur, who Lamal explained before. Now, here's some of the very important interpretation by the Mincha Gedoyla, and by another very nice commentator called the Chaimas Anoch. I don't think you have either one of these two in your sefer. Right? You have the Chaimas Anoch? Okay, so the first thing over here, first nice interpretation he says in the Chaimas Anoch is, why does it say Shuvu Shuvu? Why does it say it twice? Ties into a Gemara. The Gemara talks about, it's hard for us to really relate to this Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person does teshuva from minus, I don't know exactly what this means, and does teshuva, indeed, the process of doing teshuva is so painful, it causes him to die prematurely. Are you familiar with this Gemara? Let me read you the Gemara. It's the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, and Av Yud Zayin. And the Gemara there says, Man deforesh mi minus. A person who is deeply immersed in minos. What's minos? Apikorsis. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Okay. It doesn't just mean he reads the New Testament. It means he's a believer. He's a real believer. He's a real heavily steeped in this thing called minos, whatever this is. Okay, the Christian philosophy.
The early
Christian philosophy, but he's a real
believer. They were quite Jewish too, right?
Right, that's how they started out. They don't make Jews like Yashka anymore. It all started with a Jew. I mean, that was the whole thing. You couldn't even tell. You go into shul, you don't even know who's a min and who is the a parush. Okay, so that's why they had to test, separate them. They had to go take them off the deep end and observe Sunday, not Shabbos. But the Gemara of the Zohar says, "Man the parush minus moyes." The process is so painful. It has some psychological effect on the person.
Yeah, withdrawal.
Exactly, the withdrawal. Okay, the withdrawal. The withdrawal is so painful. Well, detox. Rachmanot, a person is addicted to drugs. He has to go to a hospital, and they have to detox him. It takes a very long time. It has to be done in a very very specific way, because if they do it too quickly, he can just die. Right? They cold turkey. No more drugs. Sakonis nefasha. So it has to be done in a very precise way. But every mashu of the Zara is also. So when the person stops minus cold turkey, he's going to die. That's therefore. And Rashi, now here's what the Chaimas Anoch says. Very interesting idea. Perish Rashi. Im Shavin Memarin lamus mitoch tsara ukefias yitzram a gezeras melech aleim lamus. Rashi comes to explain what the Gemara means. It means there. I don't know. He doesn't really explain. It means the process can cause death or supernatural. Hashem will just punish them. Ad kan l'shoinai. Okay, I don't know. He's quoting Rashi. Rashi. It's not clear what Rashi means, but the Chaimas Nach wants to say the following interpretation of Rashi, which is very insightful. Umashma. You don't have this in your edition. I'm reading from what it said. The latam dimemarin lamus mitoch tsaro kfias ayetz yesh takana. There's a solution. The solution is don't do teshuva too quickly. Everyone over here in this listening to Sukkim and Sefer Yecheskel, they're all Bukim and Shas. And they're all heavily steeped in the equivalent of Minus, even though Minus did not come into existence for another 500 years. But nevertheless, over here, they're heavily steeped in the equivalent of Minus. And Yecheskel is saying to them, you have to stop doing this nonsense. And they say to themselves, if we stop, we're addicts. If we go off the drug, you take away our drugs, we're going to die. The withdrawal is too much, we're going to die. So it comes to Avodah Zarah, we don't know what Avodah Zarah is all about. It's probably even worse. So they're so addicted, so attached to this type of ideology, just to stop doing it will have a psychological effect that can cause their death. We can't do it, we're going to die. So let us just continue our merry way. So the answer is go for rehab. Don't stop suddenly. Stop gradually. And that's what it means. Shuvu, shuvu. Repetition, Chumash Anach. Little by little. I know what it says in the Gemara. I know you're going to die if you stop immediately. But if you go and you stop gradually, then indeed you will be able to ultimately heal yourself. And that's very powerful. It comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we say the same Kippur multiple times, and we say, Shuvu, shuv midarecheichem aram, v'lam asamus beis Yisrael. What we're reading, we're trying to say, what Hashem is telling us, I'm not asking you on Yom Kippur, tomorrow when Yom Kippur is over, to be the Gedolei Hadar, to be great tzaddikim. I'm asking you to put yourself in motion, go for rehab. Little by little, when Yom Kippur is over tomorrow, start with something very, very small, and the next day improve. V'chulu v'chulu. Hashem is not asking us just to come to a sudden end to our sins. That is not practical. That is not realistic. You can't ask a person just to stop. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You got to go slow. And it's very, very fast. And that is what he learns. The onuch, that's really the Tamas Advarim is the discussion between the Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Klal Yisrael says we can appreciate this. And this generation, we understand this much more than probably ever before. This whole idea of addiction and rehab. Who ever heard of these things years ago? Okay, you grew up, you ever hear about rehab? Who ever heard about rehab? I don't know. Maybe it was for you heard, they heard about this probably for more for alcoholics. But when it comes to today, this we have everything. People are addicted to the internet. Okay, people are addicted to, you know, all different types of things. There's a process. It's very well understood. This idea where a person is addicted to all various types of behavior. It's never been more clearly understood like it is in this generation. Mm-hmm. And over here, Yecheskel is way ahead of his game, way ahead of his time. Over here, that's exactly what the conversation over here is. Klal Yisrael says, we can't do anything about it. We're addicted. And Hashem says, you're right, Cain, you're addicted. If you're just going to stop on the moment, you're going to die. You're not going to be able to handle it. I'm not asking you for that. I'm asking you, shuvu, shuvu, do teshuva, little by little, go for rehab, rehabilitation. This is the Mahalach of the Chanos Anach, period. Now, there's another very interesting approach, idea, from the Mincha Gedoyla. And he says, he is Madai from one teeny letter in the Pasuk. The difference between B'mois, Im Echboitz B'mois Ho Rasha, that's the Hei HaYidia. Now, it's not the HaYidia because it's not a Patach, but it's close enough, it's Ho Rasha. And then Kim B'Shuv Rasha, the second time it says Rasha, there is no Hei HaYidia. So the Mincha Gedolah says something very interesting. Mincha Gedolah says sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brings punishment upon a person the primary reason why he's punishing, let's say, Reuven, is not because Hashem is concerned about Reuven. Reuven is in a different category. Reuven is a Rasha, says he's a Rasha. As far as Hashem is concerned, Hashem can wait to punish him into the next world, or can wait a couple of years. It's not on Hashem's radar that Reuven needs to be taken care of now. It's not the issue. We'll eventually get him in the right time. Problem is, there's another fellow, his name is Shimon. And Shimon is on my radar. Shimon needs to shape up. Shimon's also a Rasha. And for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch was very, very concerned about Shimon. Hashem has his cheshbonos. And Hashem wants Shimon to do tshuva. So the way Hashem is going to bring about Shimon doing tshuva is by now accelerating the punishment upon Reuven to shake up Shimon. When Shimon sits in shul and he sees that what happened to Reuven, a bolt of lightning came down from Shemayim and struck Reuven, Shimon says, Gevalt, if this happened to my friend Reuven, who knows what could happen to me? Oh, Hashem is very pleased. So Hashem, at times, we don't know how these things work, will punish the Horosha, the one with the Hei HaYidia, only because he wants to use that as a trigger, as an influence to cause someone else who Hashem is concerned with, who there's more hope for, to do tshuva. So Hashem says, by the way, you know something? It would be in my ultimate benefit if both Reuven and Shimon would do tshuva, so I don't have to punish Reuven, I don't have to punish Shimon. Don't think that some people are goners, and some people have hope, and I punish one person in order to influence another person. That's a very good argument. It's true sometimes. But Hashem says, but as far as I'm concerned, I would much prefer both of you do tshuva, and none of you would have to suffer. Not the one that's the example, and not the one that is meant to learn the example. So he reads the pasuk, Emor Aleihem, say to Klal Yisrael, Chayoni, I swear, no Mashem Elokim, Im Echboitz, B'moitz Horosha, Ki'im B'shuv Rosha, Ki'im Echboitz, I think he reads more as not as a negative, but as a positive statement. Im doesn't mean not. Im he translates to mean im. Is it not so? Ech, is it not so? I have to add a few words into the pasuk. Im, is it not so? Echpoitz, that I want b'mois horosha. There are times when I desire that the horosha with the hei hayidia Reuven should die. For what purpose? Ki'im, so that b'shuv rosha midarko. The other rasha, Shimon, he should do teshuvah, v'choya, and live. That's the way Hashem works sometimes. But you want to know the truth, Hashem says. I don't want either. Shuvu, shuvu, that's why the Mincha Gedolah says it's repeated twice, shuvu, shuvu, a double repetition of shuvu, shuvu. I would prefer that the Horosha do teshuvah, and the second shuvah means and the Rosha. The Horosha should do teshuvah, and the Rosha should do teshuvah. Shuvu shuvu midarkechem hadorim. V'lama samus, why should any of you have to die, base Yisrael? So here it's alluding to this principle of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his world. There are, again, one more time, there are people in the category of Horosha, and there are people in the category of Rosha. The Hei Ayidi indicates these people are so far gone, they're off Hashem's radar. Hashem says, let them live, who cares? The day will come in the Olam HaEmes, they'll get the full measure of what they deserve. Oh, but look at that, I have an opportunity. I got an opportunity, I got over here these people who are Harosha, who I totally gave up on, but now I can use them as a tool to influence the Rasha, the one that doesn't have the Hei HaYidia. He's only a 50% Rasha. For him, there's hope. So you know what? I'll go and I'll put them in the same place. I'll go and I'll severely punish the HaRasha in order to shake up the Rasha. Maybe he'll do tshuva. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times conducts himself in this world. But Hashem says, but you know, halavai, halavai, everyone should wake up. Shuvu, shuvu. Let the HaRasha do tshuva and let the Rasha do tshuva. Why should both of you have to die? Yeah.
But we have the other principle.
That's another principle. So, and absolutely. So, to whom do we apply the principle of tzaddik v'ra'lo, rosh v'tovlo? Who do we apply the rosh that gets what he deserves? That is all a mystery, the greatest mysteries of this world. In Achnami, but he's coming to express this idea that there is at times every person is different. You know, you look around, you see certain people that are just incredibly successful. The ish matzliach. I know very well a very successful person today. He's a multi-millionaire. Maybe by now he's even a billionaire, who for all I know. And he went to the Stipler. His father took him when he was a child, took the family to Eretz Yisrael, like today everyone goes to Chaim Kanievsky, so they went in to the Stipler. The Stipler was way, holy person. And the father asked them to give a bracha. The father was a very chashuv person, a very, very talmid chacham, a very, very, very chashuv person. And the father said to the stipler, "Can you give a bracha to my children?" He brought all his children. So he gave a bracha to the children, all of them. I know this firsthand, the story. I don't want to say what it is, because it's not my place to say what it is. And when he came to this person who's very, very wealthy, the stipler said, he was a teenager there, at that point in time, "He doesn't need a bracha from me. He's an ish matzliach." That's what he said. It's a mamash, a shocking mamash, ruach hakodesh. He's an ish, he has a mazel. This person has some supernatural mazel. Whatever he touches is gold. And he's phenomenally, phenomenally, very big, very, very, very big, very big baltstaka. Very, very big baltstaka. And he's an ish matzliach. So you see it. Yishmat is such a thing. Some people have a koyach, and some people, whatever they do, they can't rub their two thumbs together to produce a nickel. Right? It was an expression. They can't even rub two nickels together. So why this one is better than that one? No, it doesn't seem like that to us. Look, Hashem, how He runs the world. He runs the world. Good morning. This is Hashem's business. Okay, so these are two ideas. I find these two ideas to be very, very powerful ideas. And there's also a Medrash I came across. Medrash Paraglama Gimel. Shuvu. The Medrash. I'm going to leave it. It's a little bit elaborate. It's not really. It's a little off the topic. So let's go to the next section. Pasuk Yudbeis. Pasuk Yudbeis begins. V'yatov en adam emor l'bnei b'nei amcha. I want you to say to the people, to your people, Tzidkas hatzadik lo satzilenu b'yoyim pisho. The righteousness of the tzadik is not going to save b'yoyim pisho. V'rishas horosho lo yikosh shel bo b'yoyim shuv mirisho. And the wickedness of the Russia will not cause him to stumble on the day when he does teshuvah, b'yom shuvah mirisho, v'tzadich lo yuchal lichyos ba b'yom chatoso, he's not going to be able to live on the day that he sins. So basically, the pasuk here is saying, in general, we'll see in Farshim, is that everything depends upon where you're holding now. If at this moment in time you're doing teshuvah, Hashem is willing to overlook your past history. If a person at this moment in time is wicked, even though his entire life was a life of avodas Hashem and a life of good deeds and Torah mitzvos, if rachmana litzlan, a person turns sour at the end, all of the good deeds, all of his merits are not going to come and save him on the day of his trouble. If you take the pasuk very literally, it's very, very, very frightening. How could that be? You spend your entire life doing good deeds, avodas Hashem, and then you have a bad day. Okay, you come home, the shiur wasn't too good, the weather's not too good, you come home and you just have a bad day, and then you make a mistake, you do an avera, and that avera now, Hashem, oh, you did this avera, you know what? I'm going to punish you. My whole life, I'm an oved Hashem, I was such a good person. How could that be? It's very, very frightening. So Chazal come to lighten the question by saying it's only going in a case where a person is toyeh al harishonais, where he has charata. He has charata. I spent my entire life doing Torah chesed, and now you know what a waste. What a waste. Everything I did was just a waste of time, a waste of effort, a waste of money. That's when the person is in a lot of trouble. But it's very rare, I hope it's very rare, for a person who at the end, Rahman Ritzlan, he turns a little bitter. Everyone gets a little bitter at some point in time, right? You got to be human, you have to be real, you get a little bitter, a little upset at some point in time, you get bitter, but you're not toye chas v'shalom al harishonos, so then this pasuk, this principle does not apply. Let's see the mitzvot, pasuk yud beis. Pasuk yud beis in the mitzvot, David, where is it? Let me see, where is it? I have a different edition than you, so this will be confusing. Okay, tzidkas ha-tzadik, I got it. Tzidkas, the righteousness of the tzadik, hatztaka sh'asa ha-tzadik, mi'oz lo'tatzil o'iso min o'inish ha-roi lovo y'ola b'yom p'sho ki'im onosh ye'onesh. If a person, after an entire life, does an avera, and he does an avera, he'll be punished. All of his good deeds are not going to make any bit of a difference. Berishas ha-rasha v'chein rish ha-resha, the wicked deeds of the person's entire life, sh'asa mi'oz lo'yeloi l'michsho, will not cause me a stumbling block. To deny him of the good, haroi lovo Allah biyom shuvu mi rishoy, when he does teshuva. V'tzadik avla tzadik lo yuchal lichyos bavur dvar resha biyom sheyechete. He's not going to be able to live because of the sins that he has done on the day that he's in this repetition. Return lemar dvar haresha, the sins that he commits today, ma'abed mimenu hachayim, will cause him to die biyom chat toso, on the day that he sins. Im she'ein ma'abed chaye hare. Im, even though those same sins, she'ein ma'abed chayei harasha b'yom shuvu, even though those same exact sins are not going to be held accountable against the rasha when he does teshuv, it's exactly the same sin. The tzaddik now on this day is doing the same exact sin that the rasha did a million times in the past. Yet the tzaddik's going to die today, and the rasha, because today he's doing a mitzvah, is not going to die. How could that be? It's the same exact thing. The sin that I'm doing today is exactly the same sin that the Rasha did his entire life. And the Rasha today is alive and well, and today I'm dying. How could that possibly be? So the answer is because all depends on you're holding today. And if today, when there are Kadosh Baruch Hu, at times he overlooks, and there are times he brings punishment. And if you happen to have that bad mazel, that the day when Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing punishment is the day when you happen to be doing that avera, and then that same day that Russia is doing the mitzvah, then you're in a lot of trouble. That's what it says over here. But as we explain, going of course in the case of the person that's charata, uchoimer im kishneim osu resha bupesh, both are exactly the same thing. Im kol zeh mizeh ma'abed mechayim mizeh in ma'abed, from one of them the sin will cause them to die and one not. Ki akol toli bizman ha'hoive, everything depends upon the present. Rashi, pasik yud, yeah? The final grade depends on the final exam. The final grade. More so than all of the intermediary exams. Okay, it's true, but generally, ruba de ruba, if you don't do well on the other exams, you don't have a chance to do well on the final exam. Okay, it's not we all know that. Cramming does not work. Cramming, the statistics are people who fail in the midterm and all the quizzes do not do well on the final exam. So it's not good to cram to the last minute. And especially when we don't know when the last minute's going to be.
Well, that's what
it's all said. Shuv yoy right. And Mamela today, because who knows what's going to be tomorrow. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Lichyas ba b'tzidka soy, to live b'tzidka soy. He's not going to merit to live b'tzidka soy. If he has charata, it's toya al harishonos. Let's see, radak is just one radak. Viata venadam, this is a grammar radak, so we'll skip. Let me just read you the Gemara to clarify. We all know the Gemara. I just told you, but let me just read the words that may be more familiar to you. Rabbi Shimon, this is a Gemara in Masechta, Kiddush Naf Memo Mebeis. Rabbi Shimon ben Rashbi. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai Mer, Afilu Tzadik Gomor Kol Yomov. Okay, that's a very powerful statement. Umorad bo acharayna, and he rebels the very, very end. Ibeid es harishonus, he loses all of his merits. Shenemar, this very pasuk. So here you learn yourself the kedushin. It was citing Yecheskel right here. Tzidkas chatzadik lo satzilenu biyom pishoy. Ve'afilu rasha gomor called yamav yasa teshuva ba'achroina ein maskin lo shuv risho. They do not mention his wickedness in the day that he dies. Shenemar Yecheskel perek lamed gimel. Shenemar v'rishas harasha. Lo yikoshel bo, he will not be a cause of stumbling. Biyoim shuvu may rishol. So the more is the obvious kasha. Why? Vinehevi, it's not fair. It's not fair. If my entire life I'm a tzaddik and today I'm a rasha, so Hashem should go and hold me accountable. Hashem should go and deny me all the good of my good deeds. Vinehevi kimechza avoynoisu mechza zichuyos. And there's a lot of depth in what the Gemara means here, because you would say, why mechza al mechza? It should be 99 verse 1. Okay, I remember once hearing the Vard. I don't remember the answer now, but it's a very good question. If a person, his entire life was a tzaddik gomor, and today he has a bad day, he does an avera, so it's 99 against 1. So why does the Gemara say he should be 50-50? Why does the Gemara say 50-50? So there's a very lot of psychological insight into that, and that is, a person today becomes a Rasha, it's really the weight of becoming a Rasha at the very, very end has much more weight than all of the good deeds. Every good deed is not just a number. You do a good deed, there's the quality of the good deed. How much sincerity has one put into the good deed? How does it happen the person is so sincere, he's so good, and all of a sudden he just snaps. He becomes a rasha. So you can't judge. There is no answer, because every person is different. We don't know how people's minds work. But there is also an understanding that if a person is very, very sincere when he does his good deeds, it just can't happen. It's just not going to happen that he's going to snap and become a Rasha. If a person snaps and becomes a Rasha, there is an indication. Again, what I'm saying over here is not a, it's not a every single case. There is an indication that the sincerity of the good deeds all along was not 100%. So the fact that a person today at the very end becomes a Rasha, he's Mora, this is very powerful the Gemara uses, even though his entire life he did Maisim Tovim. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe if such a thing happened, he wasn't sincere his entire life, but at least it's 50-50. That much you can't take away from the person. Don't tell me, the average person would say it's 99 verse 1. The Gemara is saying, no, it's not. If you are morad, you snapped, obviously there was something wrong to begin with. Is that true, Mr. Wilbur? Not necessarily, right? Very complex.
Not necessarily.
Okay, I'm just talking in a very general. Because what I'm saying, there is truth to this. There is truth, but it's not necessarily true, because the mind, you don't know what makes people snap. Okay, it's a very, the mind, I mean, I see people hear stories, what goes on, you know, it's very, very frightening. The mind is so delicate. And what means, what's very personal to you, to someone else, there's no meaning altogether.
Crisis,
right.
So anyhow, things change
and you can go mikotze la kotze. But generally, let's say there is no major crisis and the person just one day snaps. How did it happen? The Gemara talks about such a thing. So he wasn't sincere. That's the answer. Okay, I wasn't sincere, so it's not going to be 99 against 1. But it's at least a whole life of doing, going through the motions, making believe is also very good in life. A whole life is just a show, make believe, for many people. It's pretty good also. If you can make believe, you're already ahead of the game. So it's at least 50-50, right? It's at least 50-50. So why does the Gemara say, you go to Gehenim, it's at least 50-50, and now the Gemara is Einachinami. If you come to the Olam HaEmes and you're 50-50, you're good. You put on a good show your whole life, you're good. The case here is where you toye. So the more answers, Amar Reish Lakish, betoye al harishonos. Reish Lakish, you have charata al harishonos. It is very interesting there. It is Reish Lakish who's responding to Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Shimon was a Tana. Reish Lakish was a much later Amar. They didn't live in the same time. They lived much for much long, long time. And who is Reish Lakish? He did not have a very good beginning. He had a very difficult, he was a bandit, he was the chief, he was the head of the mob. He was the head of the mafia. Reish Lakish was the head of the mafia, so he knows what it means the other side.
the Sitra Achra. So when he says B'toyal Rishonos, he's coming from his perspective, his very, very powerful perspective, in understanding that's when you're going to lose. But if you don't, you're not Toyal Rishonos, and you have a bad day, maybe that's an indication that you really weren't sincere all along. All right. You're at least 50-50 is pretty good. It's pretty good. Okay, let's now go to the next.
Your life is judged in progress also.
What?
Your life is judged in progress.
Progress.
How far did you get now?
Absolutely. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, B'yom B'amilat Tzadik Choyo Yichyeh. When you say to a tzaddik, B'amilat Tzadik, when I say to a tzaddik, when I say concerning a tzaddik, he shall certainly live, who votach al tzidko so, and he has confidence in his righteousness, v'osso ovel. No, once, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally promised the person to live, if a person does an avera, we'll see the mafarshim more precisely, call it tzidko yisav lo si zocharna, all of his good deeds will not be remembered. He will die. Like we have this general rule is that a person, Hashem does not rest his name upon a person until the very, very end. There is no guarantee that a person will be a tzaddik until the very, very end. And that's the big question. Why Kodesh Baruch Hu, when Hashem spoke to Yaakov, Rashi asked this question, based upon this pasuk, when Hashem spoke to Yaakov, and Hashem said, I am the God of Avraham and also the God of Yitzchak. I don't remember the exact pasuk. It's somewhere towards when Hashem appeared to Yaakov and told him it's time to go back to your father, to return back to the land of Canaan, when he was Lavan. So Rashi asks, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is associating his name upon Yitzchak when at this moment in time Yitzchak is still alive? What's the problem? Hashem does not have faith in his holy ones until the very, very end. Just because you're at tzaddik 99.9, the very, very last day, something can go wrong. So how can Hashem say, I'm the God of Yitzchak? Yitzchak is still alive. Who says Yitzchak will remain to the very, very end? Even Yitzchak Avinu. So Rashi says Yitzchak was an exception because he already was blind. He was blind. He already was inactive. It was Kilumes. It was Kilo, even though his body was still alive, it was Kilo Meis different. He was the exception to the rule. But generally, where does that principle come from? You see it here from the words of the Navi Yechezkel. It brings out that idea. Even though, I'm going to give you all these blessings, you're going to live, there's still no guarantee until the very, very end. Let's say you're giving him to the David. The Pasuk says, what is Min Lachin? When Hashem says, concerning a tzaddik, I'm giving you a blessing, I'm giving you a blessing that you will live for a very long time. Who botach al had tzedakah she'asa, and the tzaddik has confidence that he will live because of the good deeds that he has done. The yashuv la'asas avel, but then the day comes when he does an avera. The choshvay shamakam yichaper lo al ha'avel ba'avur she'asa tzedakah miyam rabim. This is all the very big problem. You get the complacency. A person feels that I've done so many good deeds. So what's the big deal? I do a little avera today, a little lashon hara. I go and I look at something I shouldn't look at. I go and I listen to some lashon hara. What's the big deal? I have so many good things going for me. It's very frightening. Kol tzidkoy sav hinei kol hatzlokos she'asa me'oz lo si zocharnu lo lohogin lo minamis. It's not going to protect him. Avol yomos bigvolo oven asheros. He will die due to the sins that he has done. So in other words, there are no guarantees in this world whatsoever. Rashi lo si zocharnu liatzilo mila onesh ala averzo. Nothing is going to save him from dying due to this avera. Radak pasuk yigimel is a short. Was Radak say v'amri v'ubotach al tzikasa avapi shaper shabrashnu zelinin b'toya al harishanes kamo sheperishu rabosinu zal oma botach rotzaloymar ki hu choishev ki yoyel loyd tzidkoy sava she'asa af al pi shetoya alehen. Okay, so here the Radak is even going the level further. The person that's charata. Person fools himself. I have charata for spending my whole life wasting my whole life doing all of these things, but I still have confidence I did it. Bottom line is, you can't deny the record. Maybe I now, if I would do life again, at this moment in time, I say to myself, if I can do it all over again, if I can go back in time and do it all over again, I'll be different. I would not be a Talmud Chacham. I would not devote myself to Avodas Hashem. I would go and do it, have a whole different lifestyle. So I'm toya al harishonos. But listen, the bottom line is, I did avoid this Hashem my entire life, and therefore that has to serve for me as a merit. Botach, I'm botach, even though I'm toye al harishonos. So it says over here, no, ki in tiyasu hu la'avavosu, in tiyasu hu la'avosu ta'avas olam, v'la'asas ma'ashli b'chafetz, v'toy al-azman sh'ovar sh'lol osa ketav aslibo, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because the Kodesh Baruch says, since over here, he wanted to do something else, this is not going to, his zuchuyos are not going to serve as a merit, and he will die due to the sins that he commits now. I told you already a few times, from Rav Herschel Schachter, he says that, in Yom HaKippurim, they took the piece of wool, they took half, it was tied to the horn of the Soher LaZozel, and the other half was tied to the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. And they dyed it red, crimson, it was red. And they threw the Azazel off the cliff. And then what happened? One of two things happened. If Hashem was Mechaper, Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael, miraculously, the crimson, the wool turned white. And the whole Klal Yisrael saw on the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, they saw this piece of wool. It turned white. Ah! They knew that the Azazel has been thrown off the cliff and HaKadosh Baruch was Mechaper on the Avonos Yisrael. And what happens if it was a bad year and Hashem says to Klal, you know what, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not forgiving you. Then it remained red. So Rav Herschel Schachter would say, whatever happened was no good. It's a no-win situation. If it turned red, if it remained red, pachat, Hashem didn't forgive us. The whole Yom Tif, the whole Sukkot, the whole year, people were tittering. Hashem didn't forgive us. We're going to suffer. Tzoros. It's not going to be good. No good. What happened if it turned white? It's even worse. Complacency. Oh, it turned white. We have a clean slate. We have credit. We have credit. We can go to shul and we can talk and we can do all the averus we want because it turned white. So we have credit, complacency. So unfortunately, this is human nature. It's human nature to have this attitude of being botach. I did a mitzvah. Ribbono shel olam, you owe me. You owe me. I was good to you. You owe me. It's human nature. But unfortunately, this is a very big sin. It's a very big, it's a very great danger, and that's what Yechezkel says. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Then we come to another very, very, very powerful pasuk. Pasuk Yudalid. Oh no, I want to get pasuk Tezvah. Let's see if we have time to get pasuk Tezvah. Oh, I'm with the same idea in pasuk Yudalid. If Hashem says, if Hashem decrees in heaven that this individual shall certainly die, he's a rasha, and then v'shav meichat ha'asoy, and he does teshuvah, v'yasam mishpat utztaka. And what else does he do? And what else does the Pasuk Tezvav? We're going with Pasuk Yudal must be read together with Pasuk Tezvav. Chavol Yashiv Rasha. And the pledge, the Rasha returns. Gezela Kama. Gezela Yishalem. He returns, you know, he has in his possession a mashkain. Chavol means a collateral. He has a collateral, which the Torah says you have to give back a person the pillow at night. You have to give back their garments during the day. So Rasha says, no, you owe me $1,000. I'm not giving you back your pillow until you pay me the money. You're not allowed to do that. The Rasha does teshuvah, chavol, the pledge. He returns Yashiv Rasha, kama. Furthermore, gezela yishalem, if he has in his possession money that's illegal, illicit gain, he returns. Bechugos hachayim holach, and he does truly, he goes in the way of life, the laws, the ways of the living. He does things which are appropriate for the living. Levilti asos avel, choyo yichye, lo yomos, he shall certainly live, will not die. So these two psukim, pasuk tes yudal and tes vav, is the parallel of the pasuk yudgimel. Let's see the mitzudos. Pasuk yudgimel says, pasuk yudal and tes vav, yudal, yamil rasha, v'amri al rasha, most famous, v'usha mechat aso, v'lo yasa aso meata, he no longer does averus, v'od aso asatov, chavol yashiv rasha, ha rasha hazeh, kishechoval b'choivoy salmas re'eyu. When he took as a pledge the garment of his friend, Heishiv lo kivar Hashemesh. If he did teshuva and he now returns the garment when the sun sets, v'shilim es agzila. Furthermore, he returns any theft that he has in his possession. Asher gazdal me'israyu umayata. And from here on in, he will walk in the way of life. Umayata holach v'chukos ha'toyra hamivim es achayim. That brings about life. Levala sos od esav will no longer do averos. So what is the reward? The reward is next words. Choyo yichye hine harosh azay yichye v'lo yamos kif yagzera. He shall certainly live. Now, what does he say? Rashi. Rashi chavol means avot. Avot means a pledge. Shetzivisi lehashivo kivoy hashemesh. I have instructed you in the Torah parashat Mishpatim that if it's a night thing that the person needs at night, you must return that night. So he does teshuva. He returns it. And what is the reward? There is no more Rashi, Radak, Pasik. There is Radak on this Pasik, Tezvam, Tezayin. There is no Radak. Okay, now, this Pasik is a very, very powerful Pasik. Shocking halach in Mesechta Bava Kama, Sugi Bava Kama. And when you learn this Sugi, many people are very disturbed with the Sugi. They're very, very, very shocked. And that is, are you allowed to steal when you're in a matzav of sakana, allowed to steal when you're in a sakana with the kavana to pay back? And the example there was David HaMelech. David was in the state of danger, and I don't even remember all the details, but basically he wanted to destroy a field. He wanted to destroy a field, a property that belongs to a Jew, in order to save his life.
Well, because the enemy was hiding.
The enemy was hiding in the field. He wanted to burn him out. Problem is, he wanted to smoke him out. Problem is, who owns this field? A Jew. So what do I want to do? I want to destroy the field. It's private property. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to ignite it. And I will smoke out the enemy, and thus I will save my life. But in the process, I have committed theft. Gezel. I have destroyed someone else's property. No problem. I'm a rich man. I'll pay back. I'll pay back double, triple. After I make a Kabbalah, I make an announcement to the people surrounding me, I guarantee I'm going to pay back the damage I have caused. Are you allowed to do this? On the one hand, it's gezel, but mitzat sheni, it's bikuach nefesh. I'm in a matzav bikuach nefesh. So David, he sent a message. He was there in the battlefield. He took out his smartphone, and he called up the Lishka Sagozis, and he said, "Here's the Shaila, what is the halacha?" So they said to him, basically, you're not allowed to. That's pretty much what they said to him. Okay, in a nutshell, you're not allowed to. It's aser. You're still called a Rasha for doing this. But we have a heter. Okay, we have a heter. You're a melech, and the rules of malchus have a different set of rules. And melech has a special dispensation; can do whatever he wants. But if you were a private individual, indeed, this would be awesome. Isn't that shocking? I know someone. I told you the story once. I know someone that they were on a death march at the end of the Holocaust, end of the war, from a concentration camp. And the only reason why they survived was because they stole a pair of boots. They were marching, and then they came to a point where the Nazis, they said, okay, you're going to stop here. I guess the Nazis wanted to go eat. They came like to a town, and they wanted to go eat, so you just stay right here, all you people. In the meantime, the Nazis went to go feed themselves, and this person was literally dying, and their feet were swollen, and they saw from a distance a little home, and a little porch, and they saw a pair of boots on the porch. And this person went, surreptitiously, stole the boots. A Jew stole the boots from a non-Jew from this, and put on those boots, and said the only reason why I survived was because of the boots. Otherwise, I would not have been able to walk much further, and they would have shot me, they would have killed me. And this person, their entire life, it bothered them. It bothered them that they stole the boots. They live with this guilt. They stole the boots. Now, I mean, come on, I mean, it's pikuach nefesh, obviously it's pikuach nefesh. Do we pass like this Gemara? It's not likely we pass like that. What the halacha l'maisa, how this, I don't know, it's not really clear in halacha, halacha l'maisa, you're passing. I can't imagine there's going to be a pasuk that would tell them, no, don't steal the boots. I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine someone's going to tell you, don't steal the boots and you should die. It's not logical. You're gonna hear such a psak halacha, but the Gemara says you're not allowed to do it. Okay. Also, this was a Jew versus and David's case was Jews. The case there was a Jew stealing the boots of a goy. Is there a difference? Gezalakim is also. So what? No, it doesn't. That's exactly what the Gemara says. David would have died. It says the way David presented the child, David, I would have died. They would have killed me. So my life was at stake. I would have died. And I want to go destroy the field. I want to go, and I'll pay back. I'll pay back even better. I'll give them back double, triple, different quality of grain. This was barley. I'm going to pay back lentils. Lentils was even more expensive than barley. I'll read you the whole Gemara in a moment. But barley. Soyrin versus Adoshim. Okay, the Gemara is a discussion. And the Gemara says it's Osir. And the Sanhedrin, when they quoted this pasuk, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says, it says, Chavol Yashiv, Rosh, Chavol Yashiv, Rasha Gzelo Yishalim. The Gemara concludes, Afal Pi, we read it backwards, Afal Pi She Gzelo Mishalim, Gzelo Yishalim, he's still called a Rasha. He's still called a Rasha, Rasha who?
Was he definitely going to lose his life? Or
yeah.
Was it risk only if he...
I'll read you the Gemara. Vayisave David vayemen miyashikeni mayim mibar beis lechems asher bashar. David had a desire, who was very thirsty. Who's going to give me to drink? Which Chazal interpret the thirst was not a thirst for water, it was a thirst to know the halacha. The psak halacha. Vayivku shloisha sagiborim. So three of his warriors, they broke out. They put their life at risk to go and to return back to the Machane Yisrael to ask the Sanhedrin the halacha. Vayivku shloisha sagiborim b'machane Pelishtim. They went, they broke through the camp of the Pelishtim. Vayishavu mayim. And they drew water mibor beis lechem asher bashar from the pit. In Beis Lechem, that was at the gate, which means from the water means the Torah. At the gate is the Shar of Sanhedrin. What was the Shaila? So here he elaborates. Kavonas apostik shadavit his avil levorer ha halacha etzel ha Sanhedrin she Beis Lechem. Ma kami bal. What was the Shaila? So the Gemara just elaborates. Rabbanon smachloikes vitemus some said Rabbi Mori amru gidishim disoidim diyishol havu. This was a field of barley. Ugedishin da doshim the Pelishtim, and it was a field of lentils of the Pelishtim. Okay, two fields. Vikon, and that's always saying the Pelishtim. That's mine. The Pelishtim. Goyim. The Pelishtim. I have a right. Hashem gave us the land. So the field of lentils that belongs to the Pelishtim, as far as I'm concerned, it's my property because that's
besides,
what
it was at war with them.
I'm at war with them. But the field of barley that belongs to a Jew, I have no right to touch. That's private property. A melech doesn't necessarily, he can do whatever he wants. V'kar mibarlu. Mahu litol gidishin shel so'idim di Yisrael. I want to destroy the barley field to save my life with the condition, I'm making a stipulation, I'm going to pay back. Litin lifnei behem, to give it to his animals, which means, I think he means to feed his animals. I think the Gemara of the elaborates what it means to go in to save his life. Al menas l'shalim gdizm shel adoshim de plishtim. Sholchulin, they told him it's osur. It says this pasuk, chavol yashiv, even though you return the pledge, rosho gizela yishalim. Even when you pay back the gizela, you're still called a rosha. You're still called a rosha. And that's how the darshan afal pi shegzelo yishalem rasha hu. But for you, there's an exception. Avol melechatu melech peretz geder lasas derech ve'ein meichem yado. But if you had been an ordinary individual, would it be aser? And again, halacha lemaisa. This is a very, very tough shaila. You have this type of shailas all the time. People want to take what's not theirs. Al menas, I'll pay back. Can you go to shul and it's pouring rain? There's an umbrella here. Let me take the umbrella. Right? Let me take the umbrella and I'll put back here a new umbrella. I'll take the person's name and his phone. I'll pay him back a brand new umbrella. But right now, it's, I don't have a shus right now. It's gezel. I'll take someone's coat. I'll give him a new coat. Or all the different scenarios. There are many different scenarios. Are you allowed to do it? Tough shaila. It's a very, very difficult shaila what to do in these cases.
You can violate Shabbos.
But you can't. It's right. Exactly. It goes to shahachomer gezelis. You can violate Shabbos without question. Without even blinking an eyelash, you can be Michal Shabbos for anyone. But Gezel? To steal someone's property, even when your life is at risk? It's not so simple. The Sanhedrin told him the only reason why you're in exchange is because you're a melech. Otherwise, it would be awesome. Is that the halacha l'maisa? It doesn't seem like that's the halacha l'maisa, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Like I told you, I can't imagine you can hear a Pesach Halacha someone will tell you not to do it. I was reading yesterday when the Holocaust, they fled on Shabbos. When they were running for their lives. So did people take with them, knapsacks, bags, luggage? People were running, they were running for their lives. The Nazis are coming in on this side. They have to run. And they're running for a period of time, weeks, days, weeks, months. Were the people allowed to take with them luggage, to take with them a few possessions, a few little things, a few stuff, some clothing, some food? So it's very interesting. There was a big machlokes apoyskim. There was some. Most people did. Many people did. They took on. They were pikuach nefesh. They're running for their lives. So they're running for their lives. They took with them. Whatever worldly possessions they can take with them. And other people, no, it's Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. It's enough that I'm alive. I'll just take whatever I need to survive, the bare minimum, some food, and that's it. To go take my worldly possessions at Shabbos, you're not allowed to.
Yeah, that's not food. Food is to save your life.
Food to save your life. But let's say you want to take with you, you have an heirloom, you have something very precious to you. Right? So, this is my whole life. Maybe you'll say that you need it for your psychological welfare to go. You're running away. It was a very, very tough shaila, and there's an interesting analysis of this. I was reading about this yesterday about different people, the different heterim. There were a lot of gedolim which gave people permission to take with them whatever they wanted when they're running for their lives. Take their luggage. You have a suitcase. So once you're already carrying, you can carry. Once you're already carrying, it doesn't make a difference if you carry a small suitcase or a big suitcase. Once I have to take something, I got to take some food. All right, everyone agrees you're allowed to go take with you a loaf of bread. So once you take a loaf of bread, you put it in the suitcase, so you take the whole suitcase. What's the difference? Take with you all your paintings, and take with you, things that your great-grandfather, the leichter, whatever, your menorah, you have a nice menorah, the religious objects, whatever has meaning to you. And some parents can say, no, it's not right. But what do you want from me my whole life? Very painful halachic decision people had to make. All right, we're going to stop over here. We'll pick up Amir Tashem tomorrow with Pasuk Zayin. Okay, we have two hands.